design. Intelligent design is a scientific theory. If I can get it right, I'm not sure I will, but that says complex life forms that are all about us, sitting next to you in the pew and so on, and yourself, and even little cells and molecules, all those complex life forms point to a intelligent designer or a plan. It puts such a fine piece of art together, you might say. And there's a story about Isaac Newton, who had a model of the solar system in his office or in his study. And he had all the planets there, the sun in the middle, and he had some belts and gears hooked up where, you know, the Earth would rotate around just so, and the moon around the Earth, and then all the planets would be moving around. It was quite a thing. And a friend of his stopped in his office and said, "Wow, you know, who made that? That's terrific, fantastic. Who put all that together?" And Isaac Newton said, "Nobody." He said, I just left my office and went away for a couple months, and all the dust that was flying around in there somehow came together and it started moving in an orderly manner. Of course, he was messing around a bit to point the man to God and God having a plan for each of our lives. And as complex as the universe is, so complex are our own lives and the way God's people fit together as a church. Okay, as a group of believers. We're moving around in some kind of orderly manner, and God has a plan, and one has a gravitational pull that balances off another, and good things occur because God is the master designer around his people, called the church in the Bible. So the church is well designed, just like the physical universe is well designed. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says it was Christ who did this. Christ gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Okay, so there would be some strength happen from believer to believer. And people would notice God's work. They would look at a bunch of people who believed in Christ and say, "Wow, you know, only God could pull that off." In other words, those folks coming together, working together in such a manner. And the passage itself really emphasizes the diversity in the body. It mentions a whole bunch of different roles or spiritual gifts. But it also points to the fact that every believer has an act of service to do. That you kind of, you're here really for everybody else in the pew around you, you might say. You might have come to church in a difficult time and saying, "I'm here so God can help me." And that's true. He'll be always faithful to do that. But really, in God's design, he brings you around others to help them. So you're in it for the other person in terms of the way God designed it and to make that influence strong in that way. So it might the church or the body of Christ might be built up. We have a church softball team. God designs, or at least they design, a role for each player. Some are good at first base, second base, pitcher, catcher, and so on. So the team might be built up. So something might be accomplished. The last time I played organized baseball, baseball's a little tougher than softball, you know, with a smaller ball to hit and so on. But I was 14 years old, and I was very tall for my age. And somewhat awkward, and I thought, just put me in the outfield so I could run. At least I could run. I knew that. If there was a ball somewhere, I'd run after the ball, get close enough to get it so the guy wouldn't get a home run. That was my strategy. But instead of being in the outfield, they put me on first base, where you don't move around. You just stand there. Okay. And then somebody throws you the ball. But at first base, being I was tall, when ground balls would come to me, it took me longer to stoop down than the average person. And in fact, in one inning, 3 ground balls went through my legs, 3 errors in one inning. And the coach actually stopped the game, believe it or not. And he said, "Come here. I have a nice place for you right on this bench right here." And of course, I thought, if you just put me in the outfield, I'd be the next, you know, Roberto Clemente. But it was not to be. But finding the place for you, that you fit because that's the way God made you. And you're going to help others in a really strong way when you do that. Spiritual gifts in the Bible help us do that. They are tools to honor Christ and help others. And also, as I'll mention later too, they get us out of the idea of being self-centered or self-absorbed. Sometimes we think a spiritual gift is something that, you know, God gives us so we can kind of have meaning to our life. But actually, it is there, again, to help other people. If you keep that mentality, please, throughout this sermon and the passage on spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are listed here in Ephesians 4, also two other places, mainly Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. So pretty easy to remember and find. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. It might be a representative list of gifts. It may not be an exhaustive list of gifts. Okay, the 19 that are mentioned there, you might not say, well, that's all there are. You know, let's just draw the line there. You don't know what God will gift a person to do to honor him. So the fact that when you receive Christ, and I urge you to come to this point, which Steve mentioned right at the beginning of the service, you say, I'm a sinner. I've broken God's law. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I need forgiveness from Christ, and I need a Savior. Please come into my soul, Lord. That's how the relationship starts out. Just like the day you were married, you stood and you looked at your spouse to be, and you said, yes, I want this to happen. You do that with Christ in your soul. I mean, he's already stood in front of you and said, I take you. The question is, do you stand in front of him and say, and I take you, Jesus? We have a wedding in our church this weekend. That's what the couple wants to do right here. But when you receive Christ, he gives you a gift or an ability to do something. In fact, you can do something for the Lord as honoring and as efficiently as anybody else in the church. When you think of that, you could do something for the Lord as honoring and as efficiently as anybody else in the church. We just had a whole bunch of good musicians play and sing. We'll just say the three gals here who sang, you know, didn't that build you up in the faith, and didn't that honor God? And if I was sitting here not knowing Christ, I'd say, whoever they're singing about, I'd sure like to meet. Okay. Now, according to Paul here in Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, you can do something that is just as honoring to the Lord as what you heard, and just as efficiently, because he gave you gifts to honor him, or at least one gift. So get that in your soul, because that's the truth. You're a part of the body of Christ. Nothing on my body can do what my right thumb can do. And it balances me off, you know. So that's part of God's will for us. Put it into practice. I'm going to put some gifts on the screen here, and hopefully you're going to hear God's call in your soul to say, when God says, I made you like this to honor me and to help others. See if you hear it. We're going to go through quickly 19 qualities. And it's not going to take 19 minutes for sure. I don't have my microphone, so we'll do this here. Apostles. That is mentioned in a couple places. That simply means sent one. People who love to be sent, mostly to another culture or places where haven't heard about the Lord. Here am I, send me. You have that attitude. People like A.B. Simpson had that calling in his life. He said, hey, there's countries that don't know about Jesus. We're sending people there. Hudson Taylor, I want to go to China. He loved the Chinese people for decades. Rachel Wilson, send me. Paraguay, Ethiopia. If you're a person who loves mission trips, oh, I know there's areas that need help. I want to go there. God put that in your soul to honor him, to help the body. So be strong in that area. The gift of prophecy means a foretelling of the word, or to preach the word. I think, for example, interesting, in the Bible, preaching is a responsibility given to all Christians. That's a surprise. I mean, we made it kind of a pulpit experience. But in the New Testament, preaching is not even listed as a spiritual gift. In fact, you might say, well, every Sunday morning I kind of realize that. It wasn't a spiritual gift, but it was a responsibility given to every believer. I mean, that's a New Testament fact. So to proclaim the word is both a responsibility, but some have a special calling or desire to bring forth the truth in that way. Famous recent preachers, Adrian Rogers, he was a great preacher. This is the word, this is the good news. I think Shelley Prindle does this very well. You know, this is the word, this is the good news. To bring it down to a outside the sanctuary experience in the home life, you might say wives on weekends have the gift of proclaiming what should happen. This needs done, this needs done. Okay? That's a little stretch, but it gives an example, analogy. Preach the word. If you have a desire to that, you could do that in the context of relationships, friendships, where you're at. We preach it at home to each other all the time. Not formally, but all four of us end up doing it. And it's not because they're watching me. It's the gift of telling forth the word. So do that. And let God give you opportunities to show His word and His ways. I don't want to go back there. Evangelism, wonderful gift to proclaim the good news, the word evangelize means. And Billy Graham, of course, great example of that. In our family, one of the quietest ones has the gift of evangelism. My wife, Regina. Okay, when she meets with somebody, before the conversation's over, we walk away and she says, you know, I think they may want to receive Christ in their life, or I think they're, you know, ready for that, or I think you should tell them, Bob, about the gospel. And she's very excited to have somebody turn to Christ. She can pretty much, one-on-one, anybody, she'll share good news in an appropriate manner. So she has that gift of evangelism. Shepherding, eager to serve, not lording over. Good example, Max Lucado, if you're familiar with him as a pastor, as a writer. He's eager to serve. He gets people toward Christ, doesn't lord over people. Elders often have this quality, pastors. Shepherding, interesting. This description from 1 Peter sometimes gets skewed. Eager to serve, lording over others. Right? That's sometimes the way it turns out. Or that's sometimes the way the people want it. Just serve us and lord over us. And you'll be a good pastor. And I look at the passage. Wait a minute. Eager to serve, not lording over. Okay, we're going to try that. And so that's the gift of shepherding. If you have that, you're concerned about other people's spiritual health, put that into practice. Strengthen the body. Help others. You got teaching with patience and careful instruction. Great example, I think, the ministry of Charles Stanley does that. We have all our Sunday school teachers have those gifts. John and Carol and different ones, Connie, and many of you, I believe. Next group of gifts, exhortation. Come alongside and encourage. Come on, you can make it through this time. If you have that gift, express that to others. Don't hide it under a bushel. Knowledge and wisdom. God's grace to see a situation, to take action on behalf of that. Gift of helps. You know, who had that historically in the body of Christ, former President Jimmy Carter. When he was done being president, he said, I want to spend a lot of my time building houses with Habitat for Humanity. Okay, just let me serve. Family doesn't have a home. I want them to have a home. I want them to have a Bible. I want to pray with them, and I want them to know God loves them. And that, he was focused to do that. And some of you have that gift of helps, indispensable gift. Interesting from the previous screen. Watch if you have a gift or a strength, and don't make it, as one pastor said, don't make it a gift projection or a gift cop-out for yourself. A gift projection would be, I have the gift of teaching. I like to teach. So if you're not teaching, you know, you're pretty, you're kind of a second-class believer at this point. You know, when you mature, you'll teach like me. Okay, that would be gift projection, feeling like your gift everybody else should have in order to be effective. The other one would be gift cop-out. Okay, if you have the gift of teaching again and you see people helping others, well, my way of helping others is teaching, so I can't do anything of a physical nature. If somebody's in a hospital, I say, hey, not my gift. Let him be sick, you know. Somebody will go see him. That's gift cop-out. If you have the gift of teaching, you know, occasionally do another, put into practice another calling. That might stretch your faith. We could ask ourselves the question, if you have a certain gift, is it going to help you more to, you know, teach 40 Bible studies or teach 30 Bible studies and visit 10 sick people? You could do that as a Christian. You know, then you're going to grow in a more balanced manner in that way. Don't you say, well, I'm a growing Christian. I went to 40 Bible studies since the beginning of 2012. You know, you could be a growing Christian. Hey, make some relationship with others, and you'll be surprised how God will grow your faith in that way. Visit 2 sick people, you know. And it'll change them, it'll change you. Strengthening of the body. Hospitality means to entertain strangers. This is like a Salvation Army type ministry. In the Bible, it's a sharp focus on the word hospitality means to reach out to those you don't know and help you know them. Help them, you know, fit in. It really doesn't mean I got a friend, Joe. I have Joe over my house. And then Joe has me over his house. And then 6 months, I have Joe over my house. I am hospitable. The Bible says, now that's fellowship. That's good. You need that. But hospitality is, why don't you have the guy over who you know, they're never going to have you over. They don't have any place for you to come over. Entertain. Reach out to the ones who simply can't return the favor. It's a Bible thing. Tongues and interpretation, a message of prayer on behalf of others that honors the Lord. One of the more mysterious gifts. By the way, one of our fellowship people was going through a trial. Some people prayed for him. That was very meaningful. And someone, in a good way, prayed for him on the side and just, you know, spoke a gift to him in terms of another language. That meant very much to him. He didn't understand what was, you know, what the message was. He didn't have to, but this, the heart of prayer on behalf of others type gift, that's part of it. Again, you don't make it a badge of spiritual advancement. You make it to honor God and build up others. Miracles. What God can do reveals His glory and helps spread the word about Him. Traditionally, in the big picture, whether good or bad, Oral Roberts had that ministry, you know, in his view of things. And the essence is not whether we agree with everything he did. The essence was he wanted to see God change lives through Christ. I had miracles him, in a more down-to-earth way, perhaps Franco Harris had the gift of miracles. Okay. At least one day, he did. Healing. Again, when people were healed in the Bible, many put their faith in Christ. And I could be mistaken here, and it wouldn't be the first time or the last time from the pulpit. But, for example, a person with a gift of healing effectively are going to draw people to Jesus in salvation and in their walk more than just, I had this problem and I'm over it and that's the end of my story. For example, as far as I know, some of the people who've been around for a while went to some Catherine Coleman meetings. The people who I knew, at least, who went to Catherine Coleman meetings always came back talking about the Lord. When they came to me, they didn't say, there was this one guy who had cancer and I don't have any, and the broken bone, it was all better. And I mean, they didn't go in that direction. They said, she prayed, and people felt close to God. That's what they did. So an effective healing ministry is going to be that way. Honor Jesus, build up the body, gift of giving. You just love to, bless others in every way possible. And a final group here, to govern means to lead diligently. Often people on governing boards and ministries have that. It's an important gift. It's interesting when the governing gift crosses a person with the giving gift, how that plays itself out. The one with the giving gift says, whatever's here, let's just pass it on. And the one with the governing gifts, tempers that. Okay, let's pass it on. Let's make sure, stuff is still blessing people in the gathering type thing. So they work together. Mercy, have compassion and a faithful love. You have the Mother Teresa ministry. You have anybody working with children or youth has to have the gift of mercy. Because it takes time. Discernment, from truth, from error. This is critical in the body. Ravi Zacharias, great example of this gift. Faith, to be firmly convinced. Praying for the sick and a ministry of saying, I know God can help in a tough situation. Now, just in closing, all these gifts, the point is not which one do I have, but God will help you honor Him and bless others with the gift. Your gift should highlight Jesus. It's meant to be unifying, not divisive. If the preachers start a preaching club, or if the apostles people start a missionary club, and they say whoever's not in our club, obviously not spiritually advanced, bad use of gifts. Gifts meant to help the body. Gifts meant to point to Jesus because He gave them. Nobody by the Holy Spirit can say Jesus is Lord. So get that in there. It should bring believers together because the gifts are interdependent. And it should be governed by the fruit of the Spirit. I was asked one time by it was a district. How do you know if a person's filled with the fruit of the Holy Spirit? What's the qualities you're looking for? And I did my homework, and I believed it in my soul. I said, well, it's the character of Christ in a person, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. That's huge. That's the end result of God's work in our lives. The gifts are the tools that we use to honor God. And if we use that tool not to honor Him, it could be noisy, it could be unloving. So you want to put under Christ, bringing people together, honoring Christ, to go in your own soul. Go with your burden. What do you love to do? Please do it. Go with your ability. Go with the opportunity. One pastor said, if you come and tell the elders, God wants me to preach next week. He told me that. You could say, I don't think so because He didn't tell us to. But the gifts are tools of ministry meant to serve the Lord, honor, build up the team. This whole thing about spiritual gifts reminds us of this. It's very sobering. That you become a follower of Jesus, and when you do, you start to focus on other people to help them big time. Big time. You come to a gathering like this, and your whole mentality is how can I help other people? I'm here, you know, meet God, but how can I help other people? If you come saying, you know, which gifts are going to help me today? I think I have the gift of being waited upon, okay? Who is going to help me today? The more people help me, I'll be back next week. I'll be back. And if you don't do it, I'll go somewhere else. Some of the time, I come back here when I need you. Okay. That's what you call not realizing your gift is to serve others. Went to an old farm show. I don't know the name of the event, but it's when the workhorses pull these weights, you know, and they have a race, one team of horses against the other. And I saw that, and I said, man, it must be hard on the horses. And one guy said, no, they love that. The horses love that. I was built to push the weight, you know. And so that's how you feel as a believer in Christ. Man, I was saved to help other people. Just hook me up to the wagon and say, mush. That's when I'm happy. Don't let me just sit there and eat the hay all day. Say, this is the Christian life. No, it's not. But you get that spiritual gift to bless others, and there'll be people will say, that must be Jesus, because certainly that group of people couldn't pull it off on their own abilities. So we thank God for that. He will use you to get that honor for him going, and so the body can be strengthened, and we want to do this. We'll close in prayer together, please.